Hello and welcome, boys and girls, to this new episode on your favorite podcast, Once Upon a Time with Uttara. We are listening to a new set of adventures in the series about your beloved Draco the Friendly Dragon. Have a listen to the last few chapters just to make sure that you are caught up with what's happening, because the story is going to get even more action-packed now. So let's start. Young Ayan and little Alina had started training for the quest to find Draco with Uncle Kabir together with their trusted friend Samir. The children had been training for almost a year now. Little Alina was almost 6 and had suddenly grown taller and stronger with a flair for magic. Among the three of them, she was the one who had mastered magic spells the fastest and the best. In fact, in mock one-on-one magical duels, Alina often beat Ayan and Samir. She was also very agile and developing into a superb gymnast. Similarly, Ayan had blossomed into a strong and athletic boy who was good at magic but great at fighting and strategy. Uncle Kabir often set up puzzles and mazes for the children as part of their strategy training. As long as they were not allowed to use magic, Ayan won those challenges easily. He had also become very proficient with a sword and a spear, but his weapon of choice was the bow and the arrow. He was an amazing archer, able to shoot even more accurately than Uncle Kabir himself. Samir was also undergoing the same training as the other two and was also developing well. While he was average at both athletics and magic, his strength lay in research and history. He had been reading books from the castle's vast library almost every day and had become a storehouse of knowledge about all things related to dragons, to magical spells, and about the history of the family of dragon riders. He was learning very quickly about herbs as well and the power of nature to cure people. On the whole, Uncle Kabir was very happy with the progress of the three children in his care. He knew that Adar the Horrible must also be preparing for his own battle as well. And he also knew that he had to make the children capable enough to defend themselves. Now that the children had learned the basics and were developing well, it was time to move them to the next stage. And so, the very next day, Uncle Kabir gathered all three children and asked them to choose their battle kit and get ready to start their quest. Alina tied a sturdy length of rope all around her middle, tucked her pouch with its magical powders in on one side and a small dagger on the other side. Ayan tied his sword around his waist and slung his bow across his shoulders, carrying his arrows in a quiver strapped to his back. Samir carried a sturdy knife in his waistband, his satchel of herbs and his trusty magical history book in a bag slung over his back. They were ready to set upon their quest. Uncle Kabir told them that the first step was the cave of learning. By now, the children had learned enough magical history to know that the cave of learning was where Draco had trained under Master Gardok. And so, they all got ready to trek up a hill and enter through the opening on top, just as Draco had. But to their surprise, Uncle Kabir led them down to the basement of the castle and pressed a small recessed button there. It made a section of the wall slide aside and reveal steps descending deep into the earth. The children looked at him in surprise. He explained that King Abhi and Inu the Wise had gone back to the Cave of Learning. To hide it from Hora the Horrible's followers, they had set up their camp all around it. Over the years, the hill had been flattened out and had been overgrown by the forest. However, the very entrance to the cave was the spot where the castle had eventually been built, so that there was no other way for outsiders to enter it. The children smiled. It was indeed a clever way to protect the entrance to the cave of learning. Uncle Kabir led the way down the stairs and the children followed. There were several old-fashioned torches lining the walls of the staircase as it wound down deep into the depths of the earth, and Uncle Kabir kept lighting the torches as they went down using a handheld flaming torch. After what seemed like an unending journey down, he finally came to a stop and stepped aside so that the children could get a good view. They realized that they were standing in a vast cavern which was so large that its ends were not even visible. But the cavern had a soothing silvery and sandy floor which was very soft to the touch and felt comfortable to walk on. The whole cavern was glowing with a soft and enchanting light, though no specific source of light was visible. It was as if the entire cavern and the sands themselves were glowing. The children took in the whole scene in front of them as they stood in awe. They walked into the cave of learning, not daring to speak out loud. This place was thousands of years old, where Draco himself had trained under Master Gardok and other dragons. Would their spirits still be around? They had no idea. Uncle Kabir spoke in hushed tones and told them that while their family had guarded the entrance to the cave for thousands of years, no one had really understood how it worked. By reading books from the ancient times, they knew that the cave of learning was supposed to have had a pedestal which could be summoned by Draco whenever he came to the cave to speak with his masters or to the spirit of his mother. But there was no pedestal to be seen right now, and therefore no way to connect with any of the spirits of the ancient dragons. Even King Abhi and Inu the Wise, who had been closest to Draco, had not known how to summon the pedestal, and they had written all about their attempts to do so in the ancient history book. Samir had read all about it in detail, and the children knew that there was very little chance that they would be able to solve that mystery. While Alina and Samir walked towards the middle of the cave, Ayan explored the opposite end with Uncle Kabir. They all hoped to come across some clue which would help them access the pedestal, which would in turn hopefully connect them with some dragon spirits. And they all hoped that this would eventually lead them to finding Draco, because by now they all shared Uncle Kabir's belief that Draco was still alive and the source of all their magic. Ayan came across the stream of knowledge and walked along its banks, trailed by Uncle Kabir. Something about the water seemed to mesmerize him, and Ayan felt himself being pulled forward by an unknown force. He started walking faster and faster until he broke into a run. Uncle Kabir called out after him, but the boy was lost in his own world. A melodious voice seemed to be calling out to him, and Ayan could not hear anything else. Ayan ran faster and faster until Uncle Kabir was just a small speck in the background. And that's when he saw it. A strange glow was coming from within the water. Ayan put down his weapons on the sand and peered closely into the calm waters of the stream. He was curious and stepped into the water to take a closer look. He was a strong swimmer and could easily take care of himself in this calm stream. But as soon as Ayan stepped inside, the waters rose around him, forming a watery wall which came crashing over his head, drenching him completely and knocking out his breath. The boy lost his balance and fell headlong into the stream, sinking rapidly to the bottom. And this is where we end today's episode, children. What do you think will happen to Ayan now? Do you think he'll be able to come out of the stream of knowledge safely? Will the children be able to find Draco? Let's find out the answers to these and many more questions in the next episode of this adventure on your favorite podcast, Once Upon a Time with Uttara. So until next time, be happy, be brave, and bye-bye.